Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we give thanks this morning for thy great mercy, thy kindness towards us. We pray, Lord, that as thy word is open, may thou speak, for thy people wait in anticipation to hear thy word. Consecrate thy holy word in Jesus' name. We give thanks and pray. Amen. If you've read the Bible for any length of time, one thing should be obvious regarding the overarching responsibility of every Christian, and that is to glorify God. The Apostle Peter, writing in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, would say, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellency of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Writing to the church at Corinth, the Apostle Paul will reiterate the same instruction to his audience. When he wrote to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, he said, "Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Again, in his epistle to the church at Colossae, Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, the Apostle Paul will say that whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So, loved ones, this morning, it is obvious that the reason we have been regenerated is not only to anticipate heaven and our eternal inheritance, but also that while we are living in this world, we will be the light of the world, the salt of the earth, that our lives will glorify God, both in word and in deed. But like most things in the Christian faith, there is often a great divide between what ought to be and what is. And this is true of the call to glorify God. I'm assuming that all of us do know that this is our overarching responsibility. But I also know that some of us do struggle to actually actualize this responsibility. We struggle to let our light shine. We struggle to let our soul taste. And the reason for such struggle might be because we don't have a very good understanding of what it means to glorify God. And this morning, I believe the answer to this can be found in the triumphant entry of our Lord Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. Because in the triumphant entry of Jesus, we can see the keys to glorifying God with our lives. And loved ones, this is what I want to explore this morning. I want to unveil three keys in the triumphant entry of our Lord Jesus Christ that will give us a very great understanding of what it means to glorify God, both in word and in deed. This is what's going to bring me to the narrative about the triumphant entry. Now, all four Gospels record this narrative, but this morning I want to kind of look at the Gospel of Luke to use as a springboard to go on into this narrative. Now, by way of context here, it's been approximately 3.5 years since our Lord Jesus had appeared at the Jordan and was baptized by John. And we know that after his baptism, he went into the wilderness, was fasted for 40 days. After that, he was tempted by the devil and he overcame and triumphed. Then he began his itinerant ministry. With 12 men, we know that the Lord Jesus crisscrossed the cities, towns, and villages of Palestine and a couple of other surrounding nations, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, teaching, healing, deliverance, and all those things, signs and wonders the Lord Jesus performed. Then we see that he now came to that point where he embarked on his final journey, which was the journey to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the city of great kings, will ultimately be the place where the King of Glory himself will be crucified. This is where we come to Luke chapter 19. Now, in Luke chapter 19, when we begin at the first verse, we see here that the Lord Jesus, on his route to Jerusalem, was passing through Jericho. And on the way to Jericho, that's where he had an encounter with Zacchaeus, that he said to Zacchaeus on top of the sycamore tree, "Listen, come down today, I'm spending the day at your house." And after this event, we're told that the Lord Jesus told them the parable of the mina. It is on these heels of this teaching of the parable of the mina that the Lord Jesus now began his final approach towards Jerusalem. Now, Luke chapter 19, verse 28 now records for us. He said, "After he had said these things, he was going on ahead, going up to Jerusalem." The parallel narrative in Mark paints a more intense picture. And I want you to pay attention to this because this is key. He said, "And they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking on ahead of them, and they were amazed. And those who followed were fearful. And again, he took the 12 aside and began to tell them that what was going to happen to him." Now, the reason this picture is so surreal is because here was the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew perfectly well what awaited him in Jerusalem. He knew in Jerusalem that he was going to be arrested. He was going to be crucified. He knew without a doubt that death awaited him. And yet he was the first one in line, because according to each one of this narrative, he went on ahead of them. That the disciples were amazed. The reason they were amazed was that here was Jesus going on ahead into Jerusalem, already telling them that, "Listen, this is what's going to happen to me." But at this point, we can see that the Lord Jesus had a resolute determination to fulfill the will of God. I call this a lockdown mindset. A lockdown mindset is a mindset that is so laser focused upon doing God's will that no distraction can ever come in. This was our Lord Jesus Christ as he approached Jerusalem in that triumphant entry. And loved ones, I want to tender to you that this is the first key, the fundamental key to glorifying God. For you as a believer in the Lord Jesus to truly be the light of the world, the salt of the earth, for you to glorify God in whatever you do, you must have a resolute determination to fulfill kingdom agenda. Again, watch what I just said. You must have a resolute determination. In other words, your mind and your heart must be in a position of lockdown to fulfilling God's will. You must have this value system that God becomes the ultimate, the most valuable, the most passionate thing that you are going to do or you desire to do. If you don't have this mindset, if your mind, your soul is not resolute, you will always struggle with glorifying God. And the Apostle Paul will show us an example of what this form of resolute mindset looks like. When he wrote to us, he said to us in Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 7, he said, "For whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ." Do you see what the Apostle Paul is saying? The Apostle Paul is saying, listen, the surpassing value, his mindset was resolute. Jesus was all, and his desire to fulfill God's will was his overarching passion. Loved ones, listen, you and I, to glorify God, this must be where we begin. You must have to begin with your volitional will. You must have to say to yourself, Jesus carries the ultimate value in my life. It's not about whether Jesus takes second place. It's about Jesus always sitting on the throne of my heart. It's about Jesus always being the one that will make the call, not me. It's that everything I got to do, I got to run it by Jesus. Because my mindset is in a state of a lockdown to glorify God in whatever I do. Loved ones, you might say, well, I'm not a pastor. I can't do that. No, this is not only for those in vocational Christian ministry. This is a call for every Christian. That every Christian is meant to have this mindset where Jesus becomes the ultimate in your mindset, where glorifying God becomes your passion, where you have God as the most valuable thing in your life, that every other thing becomes secondary to the glory of God. Loved ones, that is what God is calling us to. That is how you glorify God, both in word and in deed. If you struggle to have this resolute determination, you are going to struggle to glorify God. And for some in our churches, the key and the struggle has to do with that resolute determination. Their mind is so distracted. They value so many other things above God. And as such, they can truly glorify God in every aspect of their lives. And loved ones, listen. It is your responsibility, my responsibility. And like Jesus had this mindset, we too as believers must have this mindset of seeking the will of God as the ultimate desire of our lives. So let's go back to this narrative. As Jesus now, we're told, approached Bethpage and Bethany by the mountain called Olivet, Jesus, we're told now, called two of his disciples, according to Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 29. And he said to them, he said, go into the village ahead of you. There you will enter and you'll find a colt tied on which no one has yet ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying this colt? You shall say, the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went and found it just as he had told them. Let's stop for a minute right there. I want you to pay close attention to some things here. First of all, we don't know what those two disciples were. But also very key here, those two disciples, they have never read the triumphant entry of Jesus like we've read it. They don't ultimately know what Jesus was going to do. They just knew that Jesus said, go and get a colt. They had no idea. And if I could use my creative license, they probably thought, they said, I don't know what Jesus was going to go do here. But regardless of whether they understood what Jesus was going to do or not, they obeyed. Again, I want you to pay attention to that. They obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible said those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. Here is the second key to glorifying God. The second key to glorifying God is what I call uncommon obedience. Uncommon obedience by definition is this. It is an act of obeying divine instruction, even when you are uncomfortable or it seems illogical or costly. It involves trusting God without not needing to fully understand what the plan is. Loved ones, that is the key, uncommon obedience. To glorify God, you must understand that is not understanding before obedience. It is obedience before understanding. And a very perfect example of this uncommon obedience was Abraham. In the story of Abraham in Genesis chapter 22, we're told that after so many years of barrenness, and his wife could not conceive, and finally God's promise came to fruition in their life, and Sarah conceived, and she gave birth to Isaac. And several years later, God will now tell Abraham, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac. take him to the mountain. I'm going to show you and sacrifice him. That is huge. Now, Abraham, when he heard that instruction from God, he could have objected. He could have said, Lord, I don't get you. You just gave me this son a few years ago, and now you're telling me to go sacrifice my son. But Abraham did not do that. We're told that as soon as the instruction was given, Abraham got up early in the morning, took two of his servants with him, and took Isaac, and began to go up to Mount Moriah, where God has instructed him. And when he came close and he saw the mountain, we're told that he told the two servants to wait behind because him and Isaac were going up to the mountain to sacrifice unto the Lord God. And Isaac will ask the father, Lord, Father, I see the wood, I see the knife, I see the fire, but where is the ram? Where is the ram for the sacrifice? And Abraham will say, the Lord will provide a ram for sacrifice. And loved ones, this is uncommon obedience. That on that mountain, Abraham was able to tie down his son. And as he lifted up the knife, God spoke to him. That is uncommon obedience, loved ones. And my brothers and sisters, this is the kind of obedience God is calling you and I to. It is the obedience that doesn't have to understand it all, but you have to do what God says do. This is the obedience that glorifies God. This is what it takes to glorify God. You do what God calls you to do, whether it's comfortable, whether it doesn't, it fits your agenda. Just do it. You trust them. Don't think for yourself this morning that partial obedience is good obedience. It is not. I tender to your loved ones, partial obedience is nothing but complete disobedience. And we can see this in the story of Saul. Because when you go to 1 Samuel chapter 15, here we're told that here Saul was instructed by Samuel to go and utterly destroy the Amalekites. And we're told that Saul went with the army and he went ahead and destroyed and conquered the Amalekites. But instead of utterly destroying the Amalekites, he took for himself the best of the livestock. He spared the king. Then when Samuel came, he said, Samuel, I fulfilled the work that God has called me to do. And Samuel said, no. No. And loved ones, this is the key. Samuel reminded him that obedience is better than sacrifice. And loved ones, may I remind you this morning, partial obedience in God's economy is zero obedience. If you today are a believer in Jesus Christ and you say, Lord, yes, I do this right, but Lord, I'm going to hold on to this. That's compartmentalized obedience. And in God's economy, compartmentalized obedience is no obedience at all. You must have to obey God to the T. Because it's only when you obey God to the T, that is when the glory of God is able to shine through your life. That is how you are able to glorify God in word and in deed. You don't have to be in vocational Christian ministry to do this. This is a call of every Christian. And I think it's important for all of us to understand that the biblical instruction is not for the super, super spiritual. Is for every single one of us that God is calling us to uncommon obedience. God is calling us to obey Him regardless of whether we feel like it or not. And I truly believe that if we as believers begin to do so, we will change this world for Jesus. We will change our community for Jesus. Our families will be transformed for the glory of God because we will be men and women that will be distinct both in our word and in deed, that many will see Christ in us, the hope of glory. That is the second key to glorifying God. But let's return back to this triumphant entry narrative according to the Gospel of Luke. So we're told here that when the two that the Lord Jesus sent went into the village, and we're told that as they untied this colt, the owner said to them, why are you untying the colt? And they responded just as Jesus told them, the Lord has need of it. And the owner allowed him to take the colt. I want you to stay right there for a minute, loved one. Stay right there. Now, I want to look at the owner of the colt. We don't know whether that was his only colt. We don't know whether he was saving that for a special occasion. We don't know whether I needed to use that same day that Jesus requested of it. But one thing we do know, it was willing to release what was his when Jesus asked him for it. You get that picture? It was willing to release what belongs to him when the master requested it. The third key to glorifying God is this. It's the willingness to surrender all to God. Are you getting that picture, loved ones? It's the willingness to surrender that in your life there is nothing that is off limit. Nothing that is off limit. That everything in your life that you are willing to say unto Jesus, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. You glorify God when you are willing to release it all to Jesus. You glorify God when God looks into your life and said, listen, this thing in your life, I want you to release it to me. This thing in your life, I want you to release it to me. And if you this morning, I say, Lord, I can't release this because it's precious to me. You've made that thing an idol. And I can tell you what, there are some that have made idol out of things because they're unwilling to release it to Jesus. Because anything that you're willing to release to Jesus, what you're saying is that thing has so much value. And the value that thing has is greater than the value that you have for Jesus. You see what I'm saying? That is idol worship. And loved ones, may I remind you this morning, God is seeking that we as believers, we offer our lives as a living sacrifice to him. We will be men and women who are fully surrendered to God in everything we do. That is how you glorify God. If you're unwilling to surrender, perhaps this morning you might be struggling with a sin and that sin is pleasurable to you. But Jesus is saying to you this day, I need to for you to surrender that sin. I want to heal you. I want you to let it go. Trust me. And you said, no, Lord, I love this more than I love you. Then you're not glorifying God. You're not glorifying God. And loved ones, this morning I tender to you. God is looking for believers that will seek to glorify him in word and in deed. But if you are not willing to surrender to God, not just the things that are convenient, the things that are inconvenient, the things that are uncomfortable, you are willing to surrender to God, God will not only use those things for his glory, but through those things, God will bless your life. And loved ones, this morning, that is the key. The triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem lays out for us how we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ can truly live a life that displays the glory of God, can live a life that points men and women towards Jesus. And in so doing, we bring glory to his name. And listen, loved ones, anytime you bring glory to the name of God, you open the doors of blessing to your own life. And God will favor you for what you've done in obedience. This morning, loved ones, let us yield and surrender. Have a mindset that is resolute and be obedient to the word of our God. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, this morning we do thank thee for mercy, for grace. Holy Father, now pray that I will consecrate this word that I've been declared, that this word has been proclaimed, may it bring glory to thee, may thy name be exalted. I commit both the declaration as well as the reception into thy hands. In Jesus' name I pray and I give thanks.